Have you ever handed a first-time flyer the controls at altitude, told them just keep the wings level, and watched them overcorrect into a gentle roller coaster for the next 90 seconds? Every one of us has. And there's a lesson buried in that moment that a whole corner of the aviation industry is trying to solve right now. I'm Vector, this is Radio Hangar, and you're listening to Clear Direct. Today we walk out onto the innovation displays here at AirVenture Oshkosh, past the electric demonstrators and the eVTOL mock-ups with their rows of little rotors, and we talk about the thing that actually makes those machines fly. Not the motors, not the batteries, the control law, the software layer they call simplified vehicle operations. Let's break this down. Before we get into it, this segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI. The whole journey, one coin at a time, beautifully made, solid in the hand, and built to last a career. If you've got a milestone worth marking, or you know someone who's about to hit one, go take a look. AviationSoul.com. Now, simplified vehicle operations. The industry shortens it to SVO. And you'll hear the phrase fly by intent thrown around right next to it. Here's what it actually means. Walk up to any of these eVTOL demonstrators on the grounds. Electric vertical takeoff and landing. Some of them have a dozen or more rotors. Some tilt, some lift and cruise on separate propellers. And here's the engineering problem staring you in the face. A machine like that has more moving parts to coordinate than a human being can possibly manage by hand. Think about what you do in a helicopter. Left hand on the collective. Right hand on the cyclic, both feet on the pedals, all four limbs working continuously. And it takes real training to hover a helicopter without embarrassing yourself. Now imagine a machine with 8 independent lift motors, 4 tilting cruise props, and a set of control surfaces that only start working once you've got airspeed. If you gave a pilot direct control of all of that, no human could fly it. There aren't enough hands. So the designers made a decision that changes everything. The pilot does not control the motors, the pilot controls intent. Here's what most people miss. In a simplified vehicle operations aircraft, when you push the single side stick forward, you're not commanding a motor to spin faster. You're telling the flight computer, I want to go that direction at about this speed. And the computer, running its control law hundreds of times a second, decides exactly how much thrust every one of those motors needs to make your wish come true while keeping the whole machine stable. You express a goal, the software solves for the goal. That's the fly-by-intent idea. You fly the intention. The airplane figures out the physics. The data tells an interesting story about why this matters, and it's not the story you'd expect. The pitch you hear in the press is anyone can fly it, no license needed. Ignore that for a second, because that's the marketing, and the marketing is running way ahead of reality. The real reason simplified vehicle operations exists is safety and workload. Traditional flight training spends an enormous amount of energy teaching you to manage a machine that is, frankly, trying to depart from where you want it. You learn to catch a stall, you learn to step on the ball, you learn to keep a helicopter from wandering off in a hover. A huge fraction of general aviation accidents come down to loss of control. The pilot and the machine getting out of sync in a moment of high workload. Low altitude, bad weather, task saturation, simplified vehicle operations attacks that directly. If the aircraft physically cannot be commanded into a stall because the control law simply won't accept that input, then you've deleted an entire category of accident. If a gust hits you on short final and the computer counters it before you've even perceived it, your workload in the most dangerous phase of flight just collapsed. That's the honest promise here. Not no pilots, fewer ways to kill yourself. You already fly with a cousin of this technology, by the way, and most of us don't think about it. Every Airbus airliner since the late 1980s has been fly-by-wire with envelope protection. When the captain pulls full back on the side stick in an emergency, the airplane gives them everything it has right up to the edge of a stall and no further. The pilot commands maximum performance, and the software delivers maximum performance without letting the wing quit. That's the same philosophy. Simplified vehicle operations just takes it further and points it at machines that a person could never hand fly in the first place. So let's be fair and honest, which is the only way I know how to do this. What are the real advantages and what are the real problems on the promise side? The case is genuinely strong. You reduce pilot workload dramatically. You can standardize handling. So every one of these aircraft flies the same way, regardless of how weird its rotor arrangement is. You open the door to redundancy that a mechanical aircraft can't match. because when the computer is already choosing how to distribute thrust, it can instantly resolve the problem when a motor fails. Lose one lift motor out of eight, and the control law just redistributes the load to the other seven and keeps you level. Try doing that manually. You can't. The software can before you'd even finish saying the word failure, and the training argument is real, even if it's oversold. If the machine is stable and protected, the skill you need to operate it safely genuinely drops not to zero, but it drops. Now the problems, and there are serious ones. First, and this is the big one, you have handed your life to software, completely. In a Cessna 172, if every electronic thing on the panel dies, you still have a yoke connected by cables to the control surfaces, and you can fly home on stick, rudder, and a wet compass. In a full simplified vehicle operations aircraft, there is no such thing as revert to manual. There is no cable. The intent-based control law is the only way the machine flies, which means that software has to be right, not mostly right, right in a way we demand of very few things on Earth.
That is a monstrous certification challenge. The Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, has decades of well-worn process for certifying a mechanical airplane and a piston engine. Certifying a safety-critical flight control computer, where the software is the primary structure of how the thing flies, is a different animal. They can do it. Airliners proved they can do it. But it is slow, it is expensive, and it should be, because the failure mode is not a warning light. The failure mode is the airplane stops flying. Second problem. Redundancy costs weight and money, and weight is the enemy of every electric aircraft already fighting the battery. To trust software with your life, you don't run one flight computer. You run three or more, cross-checking each other. Voting on the answer on separate power, separate wiring, so that no single fault can take them all down. That triple redundant architecture is heavy and it's costly. And on a battery-powered machine that's already weight-limited, every pound of computer and wiring is a pound you're not spending on range. Third, and this one's subtle. There's a human factors trap called the automation paradox, and it's real. When you make a machine so easy that the operator barely has to think, you also make the operator worse at handling the rare moment when the automation hands the problem back. If a pilot has flown by intent for 300 hours and never once managed a real degraded state, are they ready the day the system says, "I need you now"? We've watched versions of this movie in the airlines already. Automation dependency is not a hypothetical. It's a documented pattern. Simplified vehicle operations has to design for that human, not just the happy path. So who's actually building this, and what's the honest timeline? The concept isn't owned by any one company. It grew out of a body of research, including years of work at the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, on how you'd let ordinary people operate personal aircraft safely. Nearly every serious eVTOL developer working toward carrying passengers has some version of a simplified, intent-based control scheme because, as we said, they have no choice. You cannot hand-fly a multi-rotor tilt aircraft. The software is not a feature, it's a requirement. And here's the timeline part, delivered straight. The air taxi you've seen in the glossy renderings, whisking you from downtown to the airport for the price of a rideshare? That is years out. And the thing standing in the way is not the motors and it's not the batteries, though those matter. It's certifying exactly the software layer we've been talking about and building the operational rules around it. The flying demonstrators are real. I've stood next to them. They lift off. They transition to wing-borne flight. They land. That part works. The gap between a demonstrator that flies at a show and a certified aircraft, carrying your family over a city in weather on a schedule with the reliability of an elevator, is enormous. Anyone who tells you that gap closes next year is selling you something. But here's the part I don't want to be cynical about, because cynicism is just as lazy as hype. The direction is right. The idea that a machine should accept your intent and handle the physics itself is not science fiction. It's flying in every Airbus overhead right now. It's creeping into general aviation already, in the electronic stability systems and the emergency descent modes and the envelope protection, quietly showing up in modern glass cockpits. Simplified vehicle operations is the far end of a road we're already walking down. The question was never whether we'd get there. It's how carefully and how honestly and how well we design for the human still sitting in the seat. And that's the thing about walking these innovation displays at Oshkosh. This is where that conversation happens out loud. AirVenture has always been aviation's proving ground for the new idea.
The experimental category, the thing that looks impossible until somebody flies it in and parks it on the grass. The home builders proved that decades ago. The kit revolution proved it. Now it's the electric demonstrators and the fly-by intent control laws getting the same hard, honest engineer-to-engineer scrutiny from a crowd that knows exactly which questions to ask. That's what this show is for. Not to sell you the dream, to kick the tires on it. My thanks to the engineering teams and the NASA research that laid the groundwork for simplified vehicle operations, and to the FAA whose certification framework is doing the unglamorous work of deciding what actually gets to carry people. You can find more on all of it at RadioHanger.com. Here's what I'll leave you with. The next time you hand a nervous first-timer the controls and watch them chase the horizon, remember that the whole future of flight is trying to solve that exact problem. Some of it will work, some of it won't. And the honest engineering isn't telling the difference. I'm Vector. Keep asking how it works.